Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
Raise one hand, let's say this together. Our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive revelation of your word and the moving of your Holy Ghost. In this service, as the word is taught, our hearts are receptive to receive your word in instructions and information. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him, is glorified as we are edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 20, we will be looking at what is supernatural about Christian gatherings. What is supernatural about all believers need to learn what to do in Christian meetings. Some of us can be very, very illiterate when it comes to Christian gatherings. You know, an illiterate is someone, illiterate doesn't necessarily mean somebody who can read and write, my definition though, is someone who is ignorant, you know, of either a practice, an art, a language, or knowledge. So when you come to a Christian meeting, you can be an illiterate in the way you handle things. For example, if you bring someone to your house and he's never seen a television set before, then you show the television set and he sees on the screen someone is there and he says, ah, and he wants to go and adjust the person's tie. On the screen, you start to laugh because he doesn't know how to use the television set. Now, the same thing goes with a Christian gathering. If you come around, then the kind of things you do will show how illiterate you can be. For example, a couple of things some of us do. So you're in the service and then you use the phone. You're trying to chat with someone. It shows you're an ignorant person. You don't know what's going on. So you try to, hello guy, I'll just talk to you later. And people do it. And I was watching, it was a worship service. So someone was leading worship and I just saw the clip. And my attention got to something that the fellow was leading worship and said, lift your hands, let's sing to the Lord. This generation has to be very careful. And people stood right in front and they held their cameras like this. In a worship service. And I'm thinking, this is not a concert where you're particular about capturing the songs and seeing how the entertainer does his art. You know, this is a worship service where we all ought to lift or raise our hands, sing in one accord, bow down, you know, be full of joy and reverence, receive from the Spirit, and the other phones are this. You know, that's an illiterate. Because they think it's just the singing. No, it's not the singing. It's the Spirit. Hallelujah. Yeah, people like that. In the service. They do it. You have some guys like that in the service also. They're trying to tweet what's going on. Wow. Jesus is the center of it all. They tweet it out. You must get to the point where you don't worship your phone. Some can never. They can't live without their phones. I learned a lesson from a friend of mine. She's a minister too, but interestingly, I was saying this to a pastor friend last night. She's a top person in one of Nigeria's banks or so. Yeah, banks, really. And so she said to me that there are times of the day, and I know she's very busy, so she said there's a times of the day she just puts off her phone every day up till the next day. And I'm saying, eh? She said, yeah. She puts it off. That there was life before phones, and the world did not crash. And I said, that's true. Then I said, well, what if people are trying to reach you, all that and all that? She said, everybody will be fine till the morning. Now, of course, I won't adopt what she said literally, but I got the point. She puts up the phone, puts it on the next morning. She said, I discovered that the world never ended. So she said to me, she said, I just put it up. I said, oh, interesting. She said, and everybody will be fine. It gives me time to meditate. It gives me time to pray. It gives me time to be with family. It gives me time to also keep my health. And I kind of felt that's true. You know, some folks feel their life will end. Remember when, was it Twitter or so? Or was it Facebook? And WhatsApp went down and somebody said, I've died. I feel like I'm dead. What a life. What a life. You know, there was a year like that. I used to be a television addict. I used to watch like 3 movies every day or 4. Sometimes 5. In a single day. And if I take a series, even if it's 1 to 8, I'll finish everything at a go. I mean, that's dedication. You know, then I knew that that was becoming a problem. So for 2 years or 3 or so, I stopped watching television, except football. And that wasn't often anyway. It was Nigeria's games, which is usually, then there wasn't CNN, or there wasn't DSTV or this kind of stuff. So it was Nigeria's football games, maybe 3 times a year, 4 times a year. That's it. And then the news, basically to just have information. So I just get the news, and usually the news maybe once a week, you know. But I think it was a whole year that I just stayed up totally. I see television, I run, you know, and I just stayed it off. So it became a discipline such that today I know what I want to watch. I don't just stray onto the television. You just say, hey, let me just see whatever they have today. No. That's too dangerous for a Christian. Whatever you have, I'll watch. No. So believers have to ensure that technology does not become an idol. Is that clear? Become an idol. Just like you're in church, rather than take notes, you want to go and listen to it on Living Word Media. That's not good. You should take your note. You should get home and pray over it. You know, those are basic Christian practices. Amen. I said amen. So we say how supernatural are Christian meetings? Matthew's Gospel 28, and quickly, in verse 18. Matthew's Gospel 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority which was power given unto me in heaven and earth. Verse 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now notice this, it says 2 things here. In verse 19, it says to teach them, teaching all nations, which is the word to make disciples, or let's say to make students of the word. And God gives us that duty to make disciples. Someone was telling me, was it last week, he said, sir, you know, there's this guy, you know, he's born again, yes, he's my cousin, but you know, he likes to listen to the word of God, but he doesn't pray, he doesn't do this one, he doesn't study on his own, he doesn't do evangelism, he doesn't do this one. And I said, make him do it. He said, how, sir? I said, Jesus says, make disciples. Alright, you are the one that will make him do it. Not that you are going to force him, you are going to train him to do it. Say, hey. I said, yeah. I said, how were you trained? Oh, he said, sir, well, how was I trained? Said, well, my pastor will ask us to go out to preach. My pastor will call us for prayer meeting. I said, it's exactly what you are also going to do to your cousin. You are going to go out to preach with him. You are going to also pray with him. He said, oh, I said, yeah. I said, I thought that's what the church would do. I said, no, that's what believers do. Hallelujah. To make disciples means to train people, to make them do God's work, to train them. Mathetuo in the Greek, M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. So it says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you. And one of the things that we're going to see that he commands, all right, is the gathering of believers, that we come together. And he commands that. And we ought to observe that. We ought to keep that practice. We ought to have that practice as top notch and first priority in our lives. Mark 16 and 15. And he said unto them, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. So let's mark out what we just read. These signs shall follow them that believe. So, number one, in my name they shall cast out demons, right? That's number one, right? Come on, are we here? Number two, write it down, please. They shall speak with new tongues. So, cast out demons. Amen. So, believers cast out demons, right? Two, believers speak with new tongues, right? Are you putting it down? Three, believers take up serpents. Now, serpents refers to the works of the devil. Like, to confront the works of the devil, which includes persecution, right? You shall confront the works of the devil. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So that's the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Okay? So four, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Okay? So believers, right, are not hurt by deadly things. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So we have five signs, right? Come on, guys, we have five. One, believers cast out demons. Praise the Lord. Say, I cast out demons. Believers cast out demons. Two, believers speak with tongues. Say, I speak with tongues. I speak with tongues. Say, I speak with tongues. All right, go ahead and speak with tongues. Speak with tongues. You're a believer. Amen. Alright, believers take up serpents. Say, I take up serpents. I confront the works of the devil. For believers are not hurt by deadly things. Say, I'm not hurt by deadly things. Say, I'm not hurt. I'm not hurt by deadly things. Hallelujah. Believers lay hands on the sick. Say, I lay hands on the sick. Say, I lay hands on the sick. Say, I lay hands on the sick. And the sick recover. So these are signs of the believer. And they are supernatural signs. They are supernatural signs. So one of the ways you see a believer, one of the signs of a believer, believers are not known by, now of course, we are moderate, we're conservative, I know that. But believers are not just known by those things. Believers are known by supernatural indicators. Supernatural indicators. Remember years ago, we were in a bus in the, so myself and my friends, we came from a crusade. Not a crusade, it's a meeting at the, we had to call the School of Campus Ministry of Bumosha. I think it's 95 or 6. It has to be 6 or 5, yeah. And so we, I saw Pastor Bolu Paul, he's in America now, Trujillo Gule, I think we had, Brother Tokes preached at that meeting, but he came on a Saturday and he left. So we, it was called the finest hour of the church or another Pentecost, one of the two. We had two. So we're in the bus. So we're not getting the bus, of course, we're just boys, you know, and we were not arguing with the bus driver and the conductor was from Ogbomosho to Baron. So we're not paying that price, we're not paying that amount, we're not paying that fare, you know. And everybody was looking at us like, who are these rascals, you know. And really, we could act like that, you know. So, after a while, I don't know, I think we just resolved it and people were looking at, who are these guys? And when we're looking at, we just finished a 5-day meeting. I had a strong move of the Holy Ghost, but in the bus, it didn't look like it. So we now, you know, guys now, we now started because the bus moved. So I'm sure folks in the bus will have been looking at, only God knows where these boys are coming from. Maybe from parties or SUG meetings. So, you know, SUG, Student Union Government. So I just started to sing. Because usually when we're like that, I lead the songs. So I started to sing. I remember the song I sang with, "How wonderful is your name, oh Lord. How wonderful is your name." So, Pastor Larry, my friend that is on, become bishop then. Not Pastor Larry, I know girl. So he started singing. And then another one of us, we call her Reverend Mrs. Then she started singing. And some people in the bus looked at her, "These same guys? They are singing? Oh, God is good." You know what I mean? So, God is a good God. So, you know, so we got to a point. One guy just got up in the bus, you know, all those long buses. And he said, "Please stop disturbing us in the bus." And he said, "That's how Ida Hosa has deceived all of you." And I love Ida Hosa. So I got up. I said, "Don't say that thing again." So I'm sure that the guys in the bus will have wondered, "Oh, these guys are already singing. Don't let them do their tongue grease behavior." So, you know, and he said, "He's just fake and all that." So one of my friends got up, and I think it was a lady, one of us, she said, "We're going to show you here now that Dawsa is not fake, that the power of God is real." You know, everybody's looking at the same set of people that, So to anybody that is sick here, in that bus, we turn it to a healing service. We minister to the sick for over 40 minutes. And the boss became calm. He was like, see the transformation. From SUG boys to singers, Ida Hosa boys, now miracle workers. And as we go down that day, from the boss, all the people in the bus came down. And said, "Thank you, thank you. Can we get your address? Can we do this one?" And he said, and we're like, yeah. And as we came down, you know, I was saying this with Pastor Bulu, I think it was last year. And we just saw a woman, she's a Muslim. She had a daughter who was paralyzed, couldn't walk. So, because people were coming to us and we're just, you know, we used that point to also be sharing. He said, "Should I believe in Muhammad? I don't believe in Jesus." And my friend, very, very ridiculous, you know, said, "Is that Muhammad that kept down the wheelchair?" I mean, what an insult that was. I wouldn't say that any day. She said, "If Jesus can heal my daughter." And we said, "Yeah." You know, and I said, "Yeah," you know. Our character was interesting. Remember one time, like, you know, we were in an hotel. Don't do this, okay? Caveat. We were in an hotel room, so we're praying and having the Holy Ghost meetings and making noise. So the manager of the hotel came and said, "You guys are disturbing the whole hotel." I just said, "We paid for our characters too, you know." I said, "My public." You know, sometimes some people don't believe that is who I ever was. Oh, don't believe it, please don't. So we got, and that's how we began the crusade. And we had meet people. I remember one guy who couldn't speak. He was a child of one of the bus drivers, Ojo Ibadan. And I said, "Bring him." I said, "Open his mouth." I just spat in power. Begin to speak. And that was it. People gathered their hundreds. And we ministered. If you saw us that day, my haircut was something. You know. But you see, there are signs of believers. Hallelujah. See, I'm a believer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am a believer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're a believer. Believers have signs. Amen. And those signs are supernatural signs. Is that clear? Thank God for people learning how to dress. It's good to dress moderately so you don't distract people. You don't become a cause of sin for others. But you see, if you are well dressed, right? And that's all the signs of believers you have. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. There are supernatural signs. Hallelujah. Supernatural signs. I remember I was in a neighbor's house. That was late 95, I think, or so. So the husband wasn't a Christian. He was a Muslim. So he came in and then he started laughing. And he just said it loud and said, "All these speaking in tongues you are doing, you're just deceiving yourself and all that." So I was speaking with tongues, and I said, watch what the speaking in tongues is about to do. So as I spoke with tongues, and they had a boy like that, he was young. Younger, yes. I think he's married now. So I just stopped and I said, and I gave him a word of knowledge. And I said where he was coming from. And he said, ah. I said, can you see that speaking in tongues is not rubbish? So he looked at me and said, wow. He's confused. I said, no, come back, there's one more. So I told him one more. So from that day, he allowed us to use the place for fellowship. Because he wasn't sure the next thing I was going to say. I'm sure he knows what I should not say, you know. So that's it. The believers have such signs. Not just having a sticker on your car. My case is different, I'm born again. No. But there are supernatural signs. And if Jesus says this sign shall follow them that believe, it means he also commanded that. So which means as a pastor, I should teach you, right, how to walk in the light of that. And I tell you, when you're in Saints Community Church, I don't know other churches, I believe they do the same, but when you're in Saints Community Church, there are certain things that if you don't do them, you are yet to be a church member. And one of them is evangelism. Reaching the world, preaching the gospel to people, teaching the gospel, training people in how to be Christians and walk in the light of the word. And then one of them is ministering to people by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a core part of what we do. So if you don't do that, you're yet to, you know, people come around church and I believe you're not like that and they're not yet church members. They just come around to see, okay, I think I like the pastor's preaching. I like his preaching. I'm also a gunner. That's a good one though, but that's not a bad sign. It's them that believe. Oh, I just like, no, that's not it. It's the supernatural. You lay hands on the sick. If somebody in your house, you say, I'm sick. You say, ah. Come and pray for me. Ah. Mike. You know? Mike. I'm not a pastor. You know? No, that's not right. See, I lay hands on the sick. And the sick recover. You say somebody is possessed. You don't say, for what? Possessed? Even wrap it up. Possessed? I know they do. You don't say that. You lay hands. Praise the Lord. You cast out demons. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are not oppressed by the devil. We oppress the devil. Is that very clear? And they lay hands on the sick recovers. Amen. Luke 24. Wherein what is supernatural about Christian meetings. Luke 24. Luke's Gospel 24. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 44, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Now notice, beginning at Moses, twice now we have that emphasis, which is the book of Genesis. Now, the book of Genesis, I'm going to come back to that shortly, will show us the background of what we're dealing with here. But let's see the core thing here. He expounded to them in all the scriptures, which means one of the traits of a growing believer is that he knows how to interpret the Bible. How to interpret the Bible. Now, how many of you don't like mathematics? Jesus Christ, raise your hand, come on. Your name is going to take out Book of Life now. Come on, come. Don't like mathematics? You're a lawyer, right? You don't like mathematics. That's why accountants look at you one kind. Lawyers don't like mathematics. And someone now, you know, gives you an, or brings an equation to you, you'll say, You just look at it, and maybe it's even your son, your daughter, or your nephew, and says, Mommy, Auntie, Uncle. You say, You know, when I was in school, you start to explain. Because you can't explain. Now, that's because, number one, you didn't want to like it. But you had to like it when you had to pass common entrance. Right? And when you had to pass the, what do they call it now? WAEC, WASC, SSC, you know. You had to like it if it's a compulsory course. I think it was also compulsory when you crossed from the junior class, the GSS class. You have to at least score, I think, a pass or something. Is it credit or something? Credit, okay. So you have to force yourself. Now you begin to cram all the equations. This must come out. It must come out. It has to come out. It is out. And you get a pass. Okay. Now, because it's compulsory, so you have to learn it. Now, what I'm going to is this. Imagine you have a Christian, and then you say, please, can you share the Bible? No. I'm not a pastor. My own is to just go and worship God, pray to my God. He answers my prayer, but Bible begins to open the Bible and understanding it. No. I'm not into the ministry. You know, that's a shame. It's not like I don't like mathematics. Amen. This one is the Word of God. It's not an elective. Did you hear that? You know, electives. Choose between Bible reading and singing. You know, that's elective. Bible reading, singing, prayer, what? Let's move. Evangelism, how now? Giving. Then all of the above. And God says, all of the above. And that's how Christianity is. You don't choose. The part I like most about Christianity is worship. I like to just fall down and roll on the floor. And then that's the part of Christianity I love. To fall down and express myself. You know. Then when it's time to pray, you don't express yourself. You know, that's not, you know. You say I should pick A, B, C, D, E. I pick B, worship. No. They are not electives. Hallelujah. Amen. Raise your Bible and say, I will understand the Bible. I'll treasure it. And I'm able to explain it. In the name of Jesus. That's important. Thank you. You should be able to explain the Word of God. The basic things, the Word of God. You go out in evangelism to explain the Word of God to people. John 20. Learning something? John 20. And he said to them again, verse 21, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, I remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, I retained. Now, look at that word, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, just for emphasis, in Acts 1:8, the same information is there. Now, why are we in Acts? Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I want you to notice something I'm going to explain now. I observed that even in teaching this, I'd said this in over the years, but I never emphasized this part of it. And to the glory of God, in the last few years, I've gotten involved in different walks around Bible translations. So, I noticed the importance of what I'm about to say now. I mentioned it in one of the teachings we had last week on the book of John. That this phrase, you shall receive power here, after which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We just read, receive ye the Holy Ghost, John 20 and 21. And Luke 24, verse 49, just about the same thing. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from high. The word endued right? The enduo in the Greek, E-N-D-U-O, means to wear. Now, it carries with it the same strength you have in Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, oftentimes the way the King James, and it's not their fault, the way it's translated is like a one-time event. But in the original language, it's a present tense continuous. Keep putting on the whole armor of God. Keep being strong in the Lord. I think the Hebrew word, there's a Greek word, is chazak. Is it chazak? Is that the Hebrew? I think the Hebrew is chazak and the Greek is different. So keep putting on the whole armor of God. So the same thing goes with the word receive. It's not a one-time event. Keep receiving, because the word is lambano. And I think the Greek word is the lampistis or something. I'll correct it in the second service. It's a present tense continuous. It's like, keep fetching the water. Keep drawing the water. Keep receiving. Keep taking. Lambano. Keep taking. So it's not a one-time event. It's not something. Now, there's a one-time that becomes the prototype of other times, or the archetype of other times, but it's not a one-time event. It's not. And note that that's important. So go back to Luke 24. I said I was going to explain something to us. In 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. That's basically beginning at Genesis. Now, if you open the book of Genesis, we said, how supernatural, or what is supernatural about Christian meetings? Now, there are different kinds of meetings that work in the world. There's a family meeting where you meet in your house, you have a meeting. If you're in the university or the college of education, the polytechnics, there's a class meeting, You have an office meeting where you all meet in the office. Okay. You have different meetings, political meetings, association of bankers meetings, you know. But they don't carry the same import as a Christian meeting. A Christian meeting, watch what I'm about to say. Now, when you have a class assembly, the common thing is the subject matter. Maybe it's a physics class or an accounting class. When you have an office meeting, the common thing is your department or the entire organization. When you have a landlord associations meeting, I've never seen tenants meeting before, but I think that one happens unofficially. The tenants meeting, or you have political meetings. It was common to you. So when we come to church like this, what is common to us? What are we all looking at? What is the basis of our relating? We're going to see it now. Now, as you open Genesis, you see, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's God, Genesis 1:1. Then it says in verse 2, Genesis 1:2, the earth was without form and void. And it says, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. So we have 1:1, Genesis 1:1, God. Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God. So the very opening pages of the Bible is about the supernatural. The moment you subscribe by believing in the gospel, the first thing is you believe in a God that cannot be seen or has not been seen in that sense. Then you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins as a substitute, as a friend, as a brother, okay? as a savior, then you believe in the life that he gives. All the things that you have believed as a Christian are supernatural things. Then you believe, by believing in the gospel, you believe in the supernatural world. Let's say you believe in the spirit world, the unseen. The very basics, the very basis of our faith is the supernatural. The very basis. You now talk about angels. Then you talk about demons. Not because you believe in demons, but you believe they are demons. There are two different things, believing in demons and believing that they are demons. You know, there are two different things. You believe that they are demons, but you do not believe in demons. But you believe they are demons. You believe they are angels. You believe they are supernatural beings. You even believe that man is supernatural. How do you? Because when a believer dies, you say he has gone to be with the Lord. And you can see his body. You say she has gone to be with the Lord. And sometimes I will see the person again. You believe in the supernatural. You close your eyes, you pray, and you talk. And someone walks in and you're saying, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you." And the guy says, "Who are you talking to?" You say, "God." "God? Who is that?" You say, "God, my father." Interestingly, assuming the person asking you is your father. "Ah, are you okay?" You know. So all those things are already meant to give you a consciousness of the supernatural. Your salvation, your faith in God, definitely. Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith in what and who he gives. The life, the spirit. The fact that you also believe that there is a devil is evidence in itself that you have come to accept, believe the supernatural. So, now, usually, and I'm going to say this, what happens to many of us is we lack a consistent culture of sensitivity, or let's say consciousness to it. A consistent culture. And I like to mention this because it's part of what I want to teach. That there are no experts to the things of God. I told you that the other day. There's no experts. What you oftentimes think are experts are people who are disciplined and are consistent. There's no expert in prayer. There's no expert in the move of the Holy Ghost. There's no expert in healing. There's no expert in Bible study. There's no expert in Christian living. There's no expert. Mm-mm. There's no expert in walking in love. All you have are people who are consistent in feeding on the same things and practicing the same things. And if you have ever tried, I remember there was a time when I was younger, I used to maintain a culture of 10 hours every day. I just pray, and I pray and study. It was 10 hours daily. So at a point, I reduced it to 8, then 7, then 4, then 3, then 1. So, because I had schedules. You know, to get back to that 10, something I've done so consistently. And I'll take fast sometimes. I'll fast. There was a year like that. I wanted to fast 360 days. 65 days of the year. But I was stopped at 260 something. So, in trying to pick it up again, to do the 10 hours every day, the first rewinding of the 10 hours, it was like, you know, when you are praying and you can watch, What's happened? They started to be like, they're not looking at it directly, just hey! It's still 31 minutes! What do you tell yourself? The last time I looked at this wristwatch was 30 minutes ago. And it's still 31 minutes. Let me explain what I just said to you. When I looked at it last time, and it was 30 minutes ago, it was 10 o'clock. I've looked at it 30 minutes after, it's still 10:01. It looked like 30 minutes before, you said, oh God. So it took a while to get back to do it again. And that's it. It's the culture of consistency that makes people look like experts. And consistency means sometimes when you feel like it or not. A culture of prayer, where you feel like it or not. A culture of study the word, whether you feel like it or not. So, I'll get back to this shortly. So you've already subscribed and have faith in the supernatural. When we come, for example, to this meeting, look at Matthew 18. I said I was going to show you that. Matthew 18 and verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Of course, he's talking about prayer, making decisions for that. The point is, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. I don't believe that this morning. Let me see how many of you do. Now, that there I am, is it something you can see on the screen? No. It's not something that you can literally touch. Of course, you should later on, but you can literally touch. No. But it says, I am. And you believe that, right? Because you believe the word of God. You believe what he said. You believe the word of God. There I am. So, which means a church service is a supernatural gathering. A church service, a church meeting. Now don't forget, any kind of church meeting is a supernatural meeting. Why? Because Jesus is here. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Because Jesus is here. So any kind of meeting of believers, now don't forget the caveat there, gathered in my name. Let's say in my authority. Now, believers can gather as a football club. They can gather as professionals, accountants, lawyers, technicians, doctors, teachers. They can gather that way. That is in the name of their career. Believers can gather in as a family, in the sense of your siblings. But when believers are gathered in his name, that is, as believers, at that point, I'm not seeing you as my cousin, my nephew, my colleague at work. Imagine if you, the fellowship people oftentimes have in their workplace, and they have that, and then they take their eyes off, this is my line manager, this is my director, this is my staff, and they say, no, this is a believer. This is a believer. And the Spirit of God lives in her, lives in him. That means they are now gathered together where? In his name. Two, what that means is that we're going to have a consciousness of the supernatural. A consciousness of the supernatural. So, when it says where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. What does he mean? Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you. Look at it. I am with you. So, which means God in our midst, right, is God with us. Just following what I'm saying here now. Is God with us? What do I mean by with us? Which means that we did not come to meet Him in this place. We came as, watch this now, as those that are indwelt by God. John 14 and 16. I'll pray the Father, and He'll give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. John 14, 16. Even the Spirit of truth will walk in us, because He's not. You see Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. Now, He said, He shall be in you. John 14, 17. Then John 14, 20. In that day you will know I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So, that is why Paul will write in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that you are the temple of God? Say, we are the temple of God. Now, why does he call us the temple of God? He says, because the Spirit of God dwelleth in us. So, which means my consciousness has to be a supernatural one. My consciousness has to be a supernatural one. What it means is, look up guys, the way I see people in a Christian meeting is the way I will receive from God. And the way, watch this, that I worship God. The way I see people. Now, if I just walk in like it's just a meeting, and then, like I said earlier, some of us get very careless. Okay? Then you walk in, and then maybe the usher tells you, sir, sit to the left. And you say, why must I sit to the left? And then the moment you say things like that, you disconnect from the purpose of the meeting. Maybe you're looking for comfort, or you want to do something that you, but why should I, because you've lost sight of what the kind of meeting it is. And your words don't matter, because your words carry your consciousness. Remember, years back, I went for a meeting, and it was a camp meeting. And at that camp meeting, I didn't get there the first day. Not because I didn't want to get there. Usually I don't miss the first days of meetings, but something happened that I just couldn't get there. So I got there the second day. By the time I got the second day, they had taken most of the accommodation. We had the meeting at Ascon, Badagry. So it was quite disappointing, because they didn't have to give us a secondary school. I think it was Badagry Secondary School or something. Or I don't forget the school. So they took us to a school. Now we paid for the accommodation for the camp meeting. So when we got there, they now took us to an open classroom. They just dropped beds there. You know, the interesting thing is sometimes, if you're a pastor, you know this, and we try not to do that at our church here. As the pastor may not know what the workers have done. They might just say, pastor, don't worry, we got to school, it's a boarding house, it's comfortable, and all that. So say, let's go ahead. You know, and they'll just get one open classroom, and there were no windows. They just drove the brethren. And they're misrepresenting the pastor. The pastor is not aware of what's going on. Now, you hardly know this until you become a pastor. Some people do in your name and say, oh brother, why did you have to say that? Sorry, sir. And everybody think that you sent them. Imagine you saw Peter bring out a sword. You say, wow, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll be interesting. So the whole place was open. Brethren just started to murmur. And if you look at a major characteristic of the Exodus people was murmuring. Why would you go to this place? And we don't have onions. Imagine of all things, onions. Or like they wanted suya or something. Oh, wife just sat down there in the wilderness. The water is not even so pure. It doesn't have that number. It's just like complaining. In that day, people started to analyze. I don't believe this one should be judged. I knew the meeting was going to be powerful. I'd gone for the first session already. And as I got to the midnight, I brought my bags. As I was getting into the meeting, I'd walked for, because I missed my way, because I went to the border. Because you know Nigerians, when you ask them for the way, they say, if you go to the right, go to the left. So that's how I started going there. I said, I'm going out of Nigeria. And someone told me to go back. So I started walking. And I kept the money for tapes, because I usually go with me, so I have money for tapes and money for the new books they were going to release then. So I said, no, I can't use this one for my transport fare. So I had to walk. I walked from the Seme border to the place at Ascot. It was a few hours of walk. It was in the sun. So as I was walking, I was praying in tongues. I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we get to the meeting, I will be blessed. I prayed for this one. I've had fast on it. So as I got in there, the man of God just said, there's a brother here, and he gave a word of knowledge. And I said, wow. And I hardly dropped my bag. And a guy was from Ghana. I said, I'm the one. He said, drop your bag and go. I didn't say, hey, my bag. Ooh. Some guys were like, I won't carry the bag. Nothing wrong there, but of course, in these days, you should carry your bag, amen. Just so that you will say, Pastor said, I should not carry my bag. No, I've told you carry your bag. So I dropped the bag and I ran. And I got there. And what a ministry of the Spirit. So I got back to our hotel room. Open classroom. You know, that one, you don't need to kill mosquitoes. Just ensure they don't kill you. There's no need. You're wasting your time. In fact, sometimes when you're trying to kill a mosquito on this one, with this hand, it's already on this one. So it's like, don't do it. So, and then the whole place was open. And then I'm there. And the guy started arguing. So to now make matters worse, was he arguing about the open classroom? Then the guy said, sorry, we don't have enough mattresses, so maybe 2 per 1. They said, can you see? This is... I called him and said, brother, we have just 4 days. When we get to our houses, we can sleep on our water bed, big, and spread our legs, and sleep for 4 days more. We came here for a reason. He said, stop this! These are the people that are spoiling Christianity. We should be able to speak our mind. At that point, I knew when I was in the boarding house, there are many days that I'm looking at my mattress and I was not allowed to sleep on it. There was a senior like that, Ayimaku. You can watch me. Francis Ayimaku. One day like that, Pastor Allah saw him. And they said, I met someone. I said, this guy was my senior. I said, very lovely. But I said, eh? And he slept on my bed. He had his own. He said he likes my new, you know, when you buy new mattress, that you write your name like this, with initials. Or your mattress. He slept on it. So he now asked me to just go and lie on the floor. I knew that. So I knew, if I did that as punishment, I can do this to serve God. They said, no, you know. I just slept one side. Woke up the next morning. I'm praying, Lord Jesus, I'm blessed in these meetings. Because that meeting for me is supernatural. And you know, the next morning things now got worse. They said, there's no water. And that really got bad. So now I brought breeze, pure water. Some of you know what breeze is. And they brought breeze and said, oh yeah. You know, some of those people from departments can be, not here, they can be funny. That guy just appears, say, just take. They are coming, the guy just goes, take the water if you don't like. Me, there are no wash and shine. You know wash and shine? You know rub and shine. And there are two things though. There's wash and shine, there's rub and shine. They are not the same. You must interpret them in their context. There's wash and shine. There's rub and shine. One involves water, one does not. So I said, this is even a great one. This is wash and shine. There's still water. So I said, never. I said, I will not, I'm sorry, I will not go for that program until, you will not go. Who are you going to meet? You are not punishing the pastor by not going. He's punishing the pastor in his own eyes. No, never. I'm focused. Hallelujah. That is why I'm here today. Those little times, making the right concentration. It's a supernatural gathering. And the supernatural walks through men. Remember that? Yeah. So, the first thing is to know that the gathering of the church is a gathering in the Spirit. It is. They said, there I am in the midst thereof. That's where I am. It's right there. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So what should I do to a place where God is? I keep the place sacred. Genesis 28. In Genesis 28, sacred. Genesis 28. You have Jacob woke up in 16. You know, he had a vision from verse 12, verse 11. And he woke up and said, the Lord was in this place. I did not know. You know what he did? He now got up. In their culture, they used the oil to show that a place is sacred. He said, this place is sacred. So he poured the oil on it. He said, I won't treat this place like a common place. Hallelujah. This was a place that he just used as a pillow. You know, it was ordinary to him before. Now he says, since I found God here, is no longer for pillowcase. He poured oil there. Which means recognition is important. How do you see it? And I'm going to say this to some of us who are church workers, even church leaders. So not because you're part of organizing programs and church services, you may lose sight of the fact that what you are organizing is a supernatural thing. And I don't forget something Pastor Tobo told us years back. He just mentioned it in a meeting at VCF about then. That must have been 95 as well. Pastor Tobo, it's called Pastor Charles now. And he said, he was saying this particularly to those who were in the technical team, technical department. He said, the technical department, and sometimes the ushers, you are very prone to get angry. Because, you know, things can go funny. The light, and then you get in the flesh. Or the ushers, you know, and some brethren can be very funny. He says, so to keep yourself in the mood of the meeting, he said, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit as you fix the wire. He said, pray in the Spirit. As you're doing, you're praying, you are keeping the consciousness. Hallelujah. So, what is supernatural about a Christian meeting is that God is here. God is here, not as He is everywhere, is here as the head of the meeting. Is here as the reason for the meeting. Now, when we say God is everywhere, which is true, because He's omnipresent. But He is not, all places are not where He dwells. Or let's say the way properly, are not the places where He is sacred. But here, we see Him as sacred. And we know very well that He walks through people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I have a supernatural recognition of this service. I'm going to talk about this in the second set of thought. That, you know, the fact that others don't see it doesn't change that it is what it is. Now, what do I mean? You'll have wondered how men found it so easy to take Jesus and crucify Him. This is God. They mocked Him. They spat on Him. They laughed at Him. And that is the one that today you worship. The object of people's mockery can be the object of your worship. It's how we see it. See Paul. Paul mocked at Jesus. He even arrested believers. Took some to die. That was because he didn't recognize who he was. When he did, Paul became someone who surrendered his all to Jesus. So recognition changes how you receive. When you recognize. When you recognize who the fellow is. Look at Jesus' brothers. His brothers laughed at him at the initial stages. But when they knew who he was, James, Jude, and all his brothers and sisters, they became disciples. James and Jude even wrote epistles. So which means things can change the moment your recognition changes. Look at the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, we know Acts 2, 1 to 4, the Holy Ghost came on the believers. We know there was wind, things like as of fire, there was utterance, the move of the Spirit. But some people were practically laughing. They were practically laughing. And they said, what is this nonsense? So, you don't judge what a meeting looks like from those who don't recognize it. So what is supernatural about a Christian meeting is God. God is here. Hallelujah. Say God is here. No, don't say it like cliche. Say God is here. Now, look at the person next to you. Look at the person. Learn to look at people when you come to church, okay? Is that clear? Remove your mask. Remove it very well. Have you done that? Don't be afraid. Nothing's going to happen to you. Remove it very, very well. After all, you remove it in other places. Look at the person well. Now, look at it. Say, God is here.
God is here.
And turn to the person. Say, are you a believer? Answer. Okay, if the person says yes, say, God is here.
God is here.
You see the difference now? God is here.
God is here.
And God is here.
Say
again, God is here,
and
God is here. Now, in the Old Testament, one of God's descriptions is here. Shema. Here. H-E-R-E. God is here. Shema. Hallelujah. He's here. He's here. So, if he's here, so look at my recognition of you is that God is here. My recognition of you is that God is here. So, I'll treat you as sacred. Right? Come on. I'll do like Jacob and pour oil. And this is, I'm going to treat you as sacred. Now, if I treat you as cousin, I'm off. If I treat you as an ordinary guy, I'm off. If I treat you as, I'm off. The moment I see something else, I'm off. I'm shut up. And that's why when you come in for a church meeting, be conscious of what you do. Don't get into anything that can get you distracted. God is here. God is here. Hallelujah. God is here. Glory to God. God is here. Thanks be unto God. God is here. I shared a story with the leaders. I was preaching someone last Sunday. And the man, I'm told, the pastor. You see, the pastor, my host told me this. He said the man was a pastor in another town, in Lagos. And he left his mother in a coma. His mom was in a coma, really down. But he told himself, I'm not going to miss that convention. Because he had been waiting to see me physically minister. And I didn't know. I just went there to teach and preach. And that was it. I didn't know. I had an idea. I didn't even say what was going on. I didn't mention it. So I'm just, but he said, he took his eyes off the mom. The mom, we were wondering, are you crazy? Your mother is, coma. And then he came. And I ministered to the sick. We had quite a number of people got healed. So I said, now, if you have anybody home, just in In fact, the two things that happened, I mentioned the other one in the second service. And then they just bought clothes, handkerchiefs. That's okay. Just prayed for it. And he came out. God is here. And he went back. And the mom was discharged the next day. Praise the Lord. Why? Because he recognized what was going on. He recognized what was going on. You need to do that. There are people seated next to you, right? Where I said, God is here. And that means there are answers to prayers here. Come on. There are miracles here. There's direction. There's revelation. It's here. So what is supernatural about a meeting? Look up now. We said God and you. Hallelujah. Did you get that? God and you. You know, I told you the other day, you can be looking out for the spectacular, right? And miss the supernatural. Israel missed Jesus because they looked out for the spectacular. You can miss the supernatural because you are looking for something spectacular. If you, for example, if the usher at the door said, as the usher wanted to speak, and you came and said, and you just heard a voice, rather than, maybe it's a lady, just said, sit down there. I said, where? Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know you have done that because something spectacular has happened. Or you just saw the person sitting next to you, remove the mask, and then you saw fire. They said, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Oh, I see the Lord. Or as you look at the person's dress, it was a black shirt, it's now glistening all white. And I said, God is here, really, Abraham. And you know, you can't always see that most of the time. But you can see that way. Hallelujah. You can actually see it that way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the more we honor one another and honor what we do with one another, the more of the blessedness of the gathering, I close here, of believers, we're going to see. We're going to do that right now. Amen? So hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And believers have that. We have that. So what is supernatural here? God and me. God and you. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. You know, we have miracles here now, right? We have revelations here. Do we? Huh? Come on. Turn to the person beside you. Say there are miracles here. No, you point to the person. There are miracles here. There are revelations here. There's direction here. I receive from it. Say there are miracles here. There are revelations here. There's direction here. There's power here. God is here. I receive from you. Glory to God. Say, I receive from you. I know who you are. You are God's temple. I know who you are. You are a minister of His Spirit. I know who you are. You are a worker of miracles. I know who you are. You are a healing minister. I know who you are. You are God's prophet. I know who you are. You are God's vessel. I see you as who you are. I recognize you and I receive from you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that? You believe that? Imagine if you do that in your house. What about that? What about to your wife, to your husband? What about do that? What about to your cousin? Amen? I know who you are. I know who you are. Like the scriptures, you are the Christ, the Son of God. I know who you are. I'm not fooled by my senses. I'm not fooled. I know who you are. Amen. So I know who I am. I'm the temple of God. I'm the house of God. There are miracles here. There's healing here. There's direction here. There's revelation here. To give to other believers. Stand to your feet. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You want to walk in that now?